Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. Thank you for these brothers and sisters in Christ, these fellow workers in your kingdom. We pray that you will use all that happens today to further equip us to minister your word to people that are hurting and to do it with confidence and skill and compassion. And we pray that we would be good learners ourselves, that we'd be quick to hear and obey. But then also, Lord, that I ask that you'll help those of us that are speaking to speak in such a way that we equip these dear brothers and sisters for further ministry, that some new tools will be put in their ministry toolbox, maybe some older tools will be polished up and made more effective. And Lord, we need your help. We acknowledge it, and we ask for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you. All right, if you open your notes, please, that are entitled Dealing with the Spiritually Cold or Rebellious. All of us know some people like that, and we sometimes find them in the counseling room. Sometimes they're in front of us when we teach an adult Bible fellowship class, or sometimes they're coming to our small group, or sometimes they're in the congregation when we're preaching and teaching. This is a presentation that kind of tries to pull together some things that have helped me to try to have an effective ministry to the spiritually cold and rebellious. I want to start by just setting the stage. I think there's some perspectives that can help us when we're ministering to the spiritually cold and rebellious. One perspective is to be reminded that all of us were spiritually cold or rebellious at one time. When you find somebody that's spiritually cold and rebellious, there ought to be a degree of empathy about it, because you can say, well, you know, that was me at one point. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 3 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. All of us were spiritually cold or rebellious at one time. That's a good perspective when you're heading out to talk to somebody that's spiritually cold or rebellious. Another perspective that's been very helpful to me is that spiritual ministry is a team effort. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10 says, so then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. I find it comforting when I'm working with somebody who's digging in their heels and resisting the work of God in their life and resisting the scriptures. I take comfort from the fact that spiritual ministry is a team effort. It's not a solo effort. It's not just me. It's a team effort, and other people are going to be involved in the process. Another perspective that I have found very helpful is when I'm working with somebody who's spiritually cold or rebellious, to think in terms of sowing, watering, reaping, rather than just reaping. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. I kind of have a reaping mentality. I mean, I like to reap. My guess is a lot of you do too. We like to see, you know, people repent, change, get headed in a different direction. You know, we long for those. But the scripture talks in terms of sowing, watering, and reaping. As I've studied, the way I think of these terms is when you're sowing, that's when you're doing anything where you are explaining the word of God directly. It's when you're witnessing. It's a direct, what I would call, ministry of the word. That's sowing. I understand watering to be when you are doing something that encourages somebody to take seriously the claims of Christ and the scriptures. It's when you're doing something to encourage someone to take seriously the claims of Christ or the scriptures. For example, I'll mention three ways that I think we can water the word. One is just by being loving toward people, being loving, kind, compassionate, tender. Remember in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus Christ said, "By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And I always thought it was intriguing that Christ didn't say people will know we are his followers by how much money we give, how often we read our Bibles, how often we go to church, about our concern for the unsaved people around the world or something. He said, people will know you are my believer, a follower of me, by how you get along with other followers of me. So that attitude of love and compassion that we're to have toward one another ought to naturally spill over to having a love and compassion for unsaved people. And there certainly ought to be a love and compassion for people who are professing faith in Christ, but who appear to be rebelling against God right now. And so one way of watering the word is by being loving toward the people that are being resistant to the scriptures right now. I think another way that we can water the word is by giving a personal testimony. For some of us, we can give a personal testimony of our own life when we went through a period when we were in rebellion against God and against his word, and we can talk about what was in our heart at the time, the self-righteousness, the willfulness. We can also talk about the price tag we paid. We can also talk about and give a witness about how glad we are that we later repented and started following Christ. And you can water the word that's been sowed by somebody else by giving a personal testimony about what life was like before you paid attention to the scriptures and then what life was like afterwards. Sometimes we can give a personal testimony, not just from our own life, but somebody with whom we've been involved. And what a transformation has come to their life. What good things have happened since they've repented and put down the walls of resistance and began trusting Christ. I think a third way that I want to encourage you to consider that we can water the word is by walking the walk, just living the Christian life. You know, one of the biggest turnoffs to unsaved people, and I think also one of the things you'll be thrown in our face when we're trying to minister to the spiritually cold or rebellious, are Christians who talk the talk but do not walk the walk. If you're working with teenagers who are rebelling against God and they've been raised in a Christian home, that's one of the things you hear right away is, you know, the hypocrisy of their dad and mom. You know, they say one thing, they do another. Well, as all of us try to close the gap in our own lives between what we say we believe and what the Scripture teaches, and that gap between what we know the Bible teaches and how we're living, as we seek to close the gap, we are watering the Word. So I would encourage you in your efforts to minister to people, think in terms of sowing, watering, and reaping rather than just reaping. And sow the Word, I mean, give direct witnesses. But we ought to be not just sowing the word, but we ought to be actively seeking to be watering the word, giving credibility to the cause of Christ by the way we live our lives and by our efforts to encourage others to commit themselves to Christ. Here's a fourth perspective that I find very helpful in my own efforts at working with the spiritually cold and rebellious, and that is to pray for wisdom, especially regarding my words. And here's a wonderful verse that I encourage you to get marked in your Bible if you haven't already. This is a great one for biblical counselors and for people trying to work with difficult cases. Proverbs 15:2, the first part of the verse says, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable." When you're going to maybe have a lunch appointment with somebody who's resisting the work of God in their life, or you're going to have a counseling appointment with them, what I have found valuable to do, and my chief prayer is, God, help me to say what needs to be said in such a way that they will receive it. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. We all know that. I mean, you could have one message, and it can be delivered in an abrasive fashion that turns people off, and yet there's other ways of saying the same message, but it's just packaged differently, and people will receive it. Is that clear? And so a good perspective for us as we're going to meet with somebody, as we're seeking to help them, is just, Lord, help me to say it so they will receive it. Give me wisdom and what to say, what not to say, my tone, my volume, my vocabulary. What do I say? What do I not say? How do I get at it? What would be the wisest way to deliver truth to this person? Make me wise. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. And a fifth perspective on dealing with the spiritually cold and rebellious that I find helpful.